10 fingers, 10 toes, the first thing a mom or dad looks for when a new baby arrives. But what about babies who are born without them? Many eventually find their way to Cleveland surgeon William Seitz.
Hey, there he is. Give me five, bud. Okay.
Dr. Seitz is with the Cleveland Clinic, one of the nation's premier hospitals, and one of about a half dozen places in the country where children can come to get new hands.
How you doing?
Good.
Let me see that hand. Ta-da! Give me a squeeze here. Great.
The hand he's squeezing belongs to Dylan Bricker, a 5-year-old from West Salem, Ohio, who was born without fingers on his left hand. Dr. Seitz took bone from Dylan's toe to help the boy grow new fingers. At this follow-up visit, Dr. Seitz calls Dylan a rough-and-tumble little guy, and he fits the bill, a solid boy with a no-nonsense buzz cut, wearing a Batman T-shirt, and eager to show Dr. Seitz how strong he is.
What are we doing these days? Jiu-jitsu.
And karate, huh?
Karate, too?
Dr. Seitz says a number of things can affect the development of a child's limbs. A mother's exposure to toxins while she's pregnant, for example, or genetics. Dylan's mother, Barbara Bricker, explains what happened to him.
He was born with Poland syndrome, which is an artery gets blocked, 5 weeks gestation, and the circulation got cut off. So he was webbed. It looked like a little mitten. And Dr. Seitz separated, and he had to lengthen 2 fingers. He was missing bones from his hand, quite a few. And he took a bone from his toe and put that in his finger. And we've just been watching the progress ever since. Huh.
That's pretty cool.
7 surgeries, Dylan's hand.
7?
Yeah.
How old was he when you started this process?
18 months when I found Dr. Seitz. And I was told right from the beginning, we're not going for cosmetic, we're going for function. And that's what we got, huh? Functioning hand.
Dr. Seitz examines the 3 small fingers and thumb and checks out the boy's x-rays.
You can see here that the bones themselves are all
nice and
healthy and robust. Mm-hmm. I would encourage him to try to get his hands around things. I think he's reaching a point where he can hold a, you know, baseball bat.
The karate has helped a lot because the jiu-jitsu, you have to grab the gi to take down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been using...
Yeah, he's got a great grip strength.
And boy, can he pin.
Mm-hmm. He's good at that, huh?
I have 3 karate trophies.
You have 3 karate trophies? What color belt are you?
Orange.
Orange. And now we're going to add t-ball to that this year, huh?
But with these sports, is his hand at all fragile?
No.
Okay.
No more fragile than his other hand.
Okay.
A little explanation here. Dylan's new sports-playing hand is the result of a procedure called callotasis, or distraction lengthening.
And what this means is that you take a segment of bone and you literally, in a controlled way, fracture it. And then you hold it still and allow it to begin to heal. But before it heals completely, the sort of cocoon of new bone which starts to form around it, which we call callus, we then change by stretching it a little bit.
A cage-like metal frame is attached to the outside of the hand.
Imagine, if you would, looking at your hand with an erector set on it. The device looks like, I frequently refer to it as a high-tech piercing. There are these little silver-looking chromatic screws which emerge from a small incision in the skin, and these are attached to a metallic bar.
On the bar, there's a knob that turns those little screws, stretching out the bone in tiny increments.
And each time we turn it, it lengthens it 1/4 millimeter. We do that 4 times a day. So at the end of a day, we've got 1 millimeter. At the end of a week, we have 7 millimeters. At the end of a month, we've got 30 millimeters.
That's a good start to get a baby's finger growing. Most of Dr. Seitz's patients are very young, and there's a reason for that, he says. It has to do with making sure the brain recognizes the new fingers.
As a child's developing through the normal processes, he's exploring or she's exploring the universe with these antennae that are on the ends of their upper extremities. And what happens is that the developing cortex of the brain on the opposite side also develops a sense of what's there and what's not there. So we try to get started early.
Elise Finch of Montgomery Village, Maryland, started looking for help for her son very early, while she was still pregnant, and discovered that her baby's hand was not forming normally. She searched for a doctor who could make his hand functional.
Most wanted to take away, if we did anything at all, so that he could wear a prosthesis. But we didn't feel comfortable with that. We didn't want to take anything away from his hand. Felt like that was a decision he needed to be able to help make. You know, 30 years from now, what decision would he want? So I just felt most comfortable with Dr. Seitz's approach. It just appears that he's pretty much the only one who is doing the type of surgery that we were looking at for Nathan.
Now Nathan is 18 months old, and after one surgery to move toe bone to his hand, he has the beginnings of a pinky and a thumb. At his three-month follow-up, Elise Finch tells the doctor that he's already getting used to having two working hands.
And he's conquered a few unusual things, child safety caps, etc., which his older siblings didn't do with both
Well, one thing, as I told you from the beginning, kids that are given these kind of differences somehow are also given the ability to be very resourceful and find ways to do things that you just wouldn't believe that they can do. They also tend to be particularly bright. How are his toes doing?
His toes are doing good.
Let's take a peek. Here are piggies. Looks good. Looks like a normal foot, just a little bit short. Good. And he's running around okay, no problem.
Yeah, he's just starting to walk. But he doesn't seem to have any difficulty with balance.
No, shouldn't.
Next, Nathan will have an operation that puts the lengthening device on his new fingers so they can grow longer. His mom has some questions.
How much pain do kids experience with the initial surgery?
In general, very little. It's more kind of being disoriented from the anesthesia.
Bone lengthening is not new, but it used to be very painful. So painful that most parents weren't willing to subject their children to the complicated surgery. It wasn't until the end of the Cold War that U.S. orthopedic surgeons, like Dr. Seitz, learned that a new, less painful technique had been developed in the Soviet Union. A Russian surgeon, Gavriil Ilizarov, figured out a way to slow down the lengthening process when he was assigned to an isolated Siberian hospital in the 1940s. He had Stalin to thank for his patience.
If you were not a healthy, productive worker, you didn't really have much of a role, and so you were banished to this portion of the Soviet Union up in Siberia. And so he tried to find some way of helping patients who had severe limb deformities, and reconstruct them, and dwarfs and so forth. And he devised this technique using old bicycle parts and fine wires and, you know, to very slowly stretch bone. And in the span of probably 20, 25 years leading up to the early 1980s, he had done a few hundred thousand surgeries like this, but mostly involving the lower limb.
In 1986, Professor Ilizarov came to the U.S. That's when Dr. William Seitz met him and started to adapt the lengthening technique for upper extremities. He can do more than just grow fingers. Take the case of 8-year-old Megan Keene, who was born without an elbow joint.
She has a bit of a forearm with two little fingers, but it was stuck back on her shoulder like this, so basically she had no way of using those two little fingers. So we stretched out the tight, soft tissues, lengthened her forearm somewhat, made her an elbow joint, and then moved some muscles so she could use her two little fingers that she has, and so she has an extremity which she can use as an assist hand.
Megan brought homemade art for Dr. Bill at this visit.
Oh, look at that. Did you draw that yourself?
No, it's a stamp.
It's a stamp. But I see you can write cursive, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I made the doggy different colors.
It did, yeah. I have a red and green dog at home. Do you know that?
You do?
Let's see here. Here's your arm. And this is the elbow we made for you right here. See? Look how nicely your arm is growing straight. Are we using this hand for everything?
Mm-hmm. Especially swimming.
What's your favorite thing to do in swimming?
Backstroke.
Backstroke?
Even though these young patients can do remarkable things, their hands will never look or fully function like those of their friends. Their arms or hands are smaller, they don't have knuckles that bend, and most have a thumb and 3, not 4 fingers. But the surgery does give these kids opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise. For Dr. Seitz, to give a child a hand is an amazing gift.
There's no other segment of the body that has nearly the density of nerve endings that a fingertip has. You can put your hand in a pocket and tell the difference between a dime and a nickel. Try to do that at your elbow or with your knee or even with your toes for that matter. It's a very beautiful and yet complex little machine. Look at that. You're a lot bigger than when we started this whole thing, aren't you? Is there anything you can't do?
I can't do the monkey bars.
You can't do the monkey bars?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you can't.
Orthopedic surgeon William Seitz of the Cleveland Clinic. You can see him and his young patients, Megan Keene, Dylan Bricker, and Nathaniel Finch, on our website, npr.org. Our story on Dr. Seitz was produced by Alice Winkler and recorded by Rob Byers. This is NPR News.